right? So not only is it important that we know the rules and we know how to interact with it, but it should be fun.
We have to be drawn to play it. Otherwise, if it's just some game that gets thrown out there and what, we can win 4 hours of...
Pencils.
Time. Yeah, we can get some pencils.
Right.
Actually, it depends on the pencils. I can be very motivated by pencils.
Really crappy pencils.
Are they like unicorn pencils?
Nope.
Do they sparkle?
Nope. They're the kind that when you sharpen them, it goes all the way down to the eraser.
You just don't know how to sharpen a pencil.
No. I'm talking cheap. You haven't had cheap pencils.
He really likes the game where you sharpen the pencil and then you get the eraser.
Yeah. And then you eat it. So it really needs to actually be fun to play. Mm-hmm.
Welcome to The Critical Path of Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 17, and we are going to talk about gamifying your workplace.
So I want to talk about why are we on episode 17 and just now talking about gamifying your workplace?
Because we had to make sure that we really knew how to podcast before we approached such an important
topic. It really
took
17 episodes to get here.
Well, I actually don't believe in the number 17, so it feels like it's the first opportunity.
You know, in buildings, they usually skip the number 17 in the floors.
That's not true. It's 13 that they skip.
I'm totally lying. But
okay, so we are talking about gamification. So the word gamification actually gets associated with something that Fortune 500 companies did for a while in the early tens, I guess. Is that how you refer
tens,
to it?
Tweens.
Teens.
Not aughts.
So it was all the rage for a little while. Everybody was doing it, and then around maybe 2015, 2016, they declared it dead.
Yeah, it's over.
And what gamification in that sense referred to was they were actually building apps in order to encourage people to do what they wanted people to do. So basically it was based on kind of a Farmville, kind of Candy Crush.
So every time you'd complete a task, you'd like fidget with your phone.
Right. And it turns out that's not a good way to get people to change their behavior unless the behavior you want to change is for people to play with their phones more.
Well, I mean, that's what everybody's looking for in an employee.
I still need one more nail for my Farmville, so Jason, could you add me on Friendster so I could do that?
I'm literally just playing with my phone right now. That's all I do.
Well, actually, then it's really rude that you won't add Dakota to your Farmville.
Look,
so
I'm busy playing Farmville.
I need to set the record straight. I would never play Farmville. The only games on my phone are Sudoku and Ken.
An actual sponsor of this podcast episode is Farmville.
You guys... I kind of did play Farmville for a little bit.
Of course you did.
Just for a little bit.
Mary!
But my farm was like lit. It was really good. But then
did you have like a lot of torches?
I don't remember. I don't really remember anything about that farm because shortly after I started playing Farmville, I discovered Dragon Vale.
It's a dragon game.
And Dragon Vale was...
lit. Okay, so gamification was created to help change behavior of employees or to try to incentivize certain behaviors.
But the truth about gamification is that when we're just looking at cell phone apps, it doesn't work. Because the truth is, the thing that really helps to change people's behavior is playing games with other people. There's a reason that board games are still around, even though video games can do so much more than board games can. They do all the math for you, they do all the rule keeping for you, but people still play board games because they play with other people. So in the same way, it's important that whatever gamification structures that we build, they lean into people and using people around us. So if we're gonna use games in order to convince people to do what we want them to do, I suppose the next piece of conversation is what kind of things would we wanna gamify?
Well, I think that a lot of people come to the table with mixed conception about what gamification even is. Mm-hmm. And there is kind of the baggage from what came before with apps and what have you. So either they're dismissed, they'll dismiss that concept, or they're confused by the concept and they try to put it together and it doesn't work out so well. But the best scenarios where you might create gamification successfully, and we're talking about construction companies as kind of a particular topic, there are areas and pieces of work, responsibilities that we have to carry that can seem heavy or boring or for no purpose. Mm-hmm. So at home, it would be doing your laundry. But at work, it might be filling out your daily report, or it might be filling your time card out correctly and actually submitting it on time so that payroll can do their job. It feels like that is the least important thing you're going to do all week. However, it's kind of important if you want to get paid on time.
So in the same way that doing laundry is actually important if you want to have pants to wear to work.
Yep, or clean pants. Yes, I wear pants, and I'm wearing pants right now. But it can help lighten the load of a lot of tasks that many folks will find tedious or without purpose. I've seen, and we've helped new practices get rolled out for incentivizing new billing practices. That's exciting, right? However, if you, one company we work with, a client of ours, created a superhero for every employee, they would paste their face on top of the body of a superhero when they were able to successfully make that achievement.
And that was super cool because she picked specific superheroes for each person. And she did a really good job at picking all the right heroes for the right people on the team.
So we'll oftentimes hear, well, my people just won't do a thing. I just can't get them to complete these menial tasks. They are important for the organization, but I can't get them to understand that they're important. So in this situation, the woman could have just said, this is the new policy, get with it, everybody. Mm-hmm. And then everybody would proceed to not do it. And then she would get angry and frustrated and create conflict. And then they would keep not doing it. And then she'd probably just walk away from it and say that they can't learn how to do it.
Yeah.
But the real problem is a problem in motivation. So by creating a fun hoop that they can jump through, that they actually choose to go through the hoop and they get a prize using gold stars or colored charts or whatever we need to do to encourage that behavior, it is far worth it to make that investment in time.
Well, I think that's an important piece because often when we talk about gamification with company owners, then they tend to feel like if we're going to have a game, then they're going to have to give away a lot of money. They're going to have to give away something really big or give away prizes to a lot of people in order to really encourage everyone to do the thing. And it's important, I think, to talk about the fact that we always say we don't grow up, we just get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, it's amazing the difference it can make. Just doing something like putting up a silly picture of someone with their face on a superhero or putting up big thermometers that we fill up with color as we get toward our goals, all kinds of things that don't have to cost any money at all, or we can invest small amounts of money. We had a company where they were passing around a Barbie car.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a pink Barbie Corvette, and whoever got the goal that week got to have the Barbie car on their desk.
On their desk.
They chose to have it. It wasn't like the flamingo scenario where you pay $10 and then it goes to someone else's lawn.
No, it was the prize. Yep. It was what they wanted.
So one of the pieces that we should be looking at here when we're talking about gamification is in the example of the new billing practice, how much energy and how much effort would it take to roll out that new practice without using the superheroes? If we're taking the course, this is the new policy, this is what you're going to do, and they don't do it, like most people don't take to new policies. How much stress and frustration and friction between the people is that going to create? How much time is that going to take? How many times are we going to say the thing over and over and over at meetings? And it becomes this divisive situation.
So are you saying I need a game for the new billing codes that I just am rolling out like today?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's less relevant, but yes. So definitely if you perceive that you're going to have a steep hill to climb to get a new policy rolled out, you should think about what kind of investment are you going to put into it to roll this out with an iron fist, and what are the alternatives that you could be looking at. So Dakota, what would that look like from an investment standpoint, a time investment standpoint, if we roll it out with the gamification model instead of the friction conflict model?
Well, if we spend a half hour and we make up the rules to this thing, whether they get their awesome specific snacks in the break room, or they're heads on superheroes, you know, that's maybe an afternoon, right? To get all the words on paper, to just tell people about it, that's maybe an afternoon. Mm-hmm. To force people to do all those things, you're going to have to constantly be looking for it, mm-hmm. interrupt your own workday, your own tasks. Your work doesn't go away just because you have to enforce other people to do this. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of it just getting done because people saw some value, some people banged the gong, if you will, you now have to go and force them and say, hey, Jason, mm-hmm. I noticed that your TPS report doesn't have a cover sheet.
TPS report.
I'll forward you that memo.
Yeah.
Just make sure that all your TPS reports have cover sheets.
That's
like,
right.
That is such a waste of time, whether you're talking salaried mm-hmm. or hourly workers. That is a huge impact to your production.
And if you're looking at it just from a time expenditure standpoint, you are far and away better off. But let's say it was even. Or let's say you even had to spend more time rolling out the gamified version with the superheroes. Let's say, you know, you had to spend a little bit more time, but it actually had a greater likelihood of being successful, and it turned into an opportunity for team building and cultural development.
They actually gave her, and Dakota might be able to help me here, because there was a gauntlet. I guess it's a Marvel gauntlet. Do you know who has a gauntlet? Is it Thanos?
Oh yeah, the Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah, the Infinity Gauntlet. So they gave her an Infinity Gauntlet to
yeah.
put on her desk
yeah.
after she did that, which
yeah.
was particularly...
Right. It's a cool little inside joke.
Yeah, and that totally, I mean, it's meta, it's correct, but it's an acknowledgement of the fact that she went over and above, and that person in particular always goes over and above. And when you hear about those things, you think, that's a company that I really want to be a part of.
Yep.
That is a team that I want to join.
We recently were talking to a client who, that's the core of what we're working on, is helping to build up that team environment and helping to build up that company culture. And we told that story, and he said, that doesn't sound like something we would do around here at all. That sounds like a lot of fun. And
right.
I think
and
that's
the company owner.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
If you instead of sitting at your desk for a couple hours a month, you think of ways to gamify, get your employees to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to enjoy themselves?
Right.
Maybe like to come to work, have that tiny little speck mm-hmm. saying, oh man, I really hope I get to ring that gong.
Yeah. So the other part too is that in motivating people, I always prefer to use a big carrot and a little stick. It's always good to have a little bit of disincentive to encourage people to do things, but the carrot will always get you much further in terms of bringing on new initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about gamification, it's important that we keep the concept of big money versus little money in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So big money are capital investments. These are salaries. These are new vehicles. These are serious costs.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the things that we would use to incentivize gamification with, it's all little money.
Mm-hmm.
It's you get your favorite coffee, you get your a dinner out, right? Even if it's a couple $100, you get to take your family to a ball game.
And depending on the size of your organization, you can even do things where you say, the department that gets the most points mm-hmm. gets money to do something at the company, so they can fix something in the break room that they want, or
yeah.
they can fix something in their part of the building, and then you're actually using it dual purpose, where
mm-hmm.
it's a prize, but you're also investing in your own business in ways that are directed to you by the people who are inside the business, who know what they would get the most value out of.
We call in lunch every week for our team, and you get to pick the lunch,
mm-hmm.
right? It's something simple that we're gonna order lunch anyway, but the power and the authority and the gift of getting to pick what it is, that can be special if it's
mm-hmm.
spun right. So, we were talking about examples of various things that we can gamify,
mm-hmm.
and the sky is really the limit here, because there are so many little pieces that you could gamify, but you really want to think about the things that are tedious or they feel like they're without purpose. We talked about safety reports, daily logs, time cards. How about like tool check-in? So they take
mm-hmm.
the tools out and they need to check them back in, and if they do it properly, boom, you have a game, and you can incentivize and motivate people to do that more completely, more correctly. And what is that worth if just one tool comes back in good shape and it's where it's supposed to be? So there really aren't any limits in terms of the tedium that you can pull out of the workplace.
So what if for tool check-in, you, I know that there are places that'll do engraving on tools, where they'll engrave the company name on the tools.
Yeah.
What if whoever wins and did the check-in gets to name one of the tools?
Super cool, right?
Whoever gets 20 check-ins with no problems.
Yeah.
Gets to name a tool. And then you engrave that name on the tool so that now we have like...
Gertrude.
Exactly, Gertrude. And then not only have we given some reward, but people are going to be less likely to lose Gertrude because all of a sudden we're going to invest a certain amount in those named tools and not want to lose them because nobody wants to lose Gertrude.
And what did that really cost? Mm-hmm. So if you bought a nameplate machine or cranked out like a dog tag, whatever, and riveted it on, is it, I don't know, what does a banana cost? Is it like $3 for the material and like $10 for the labor? It is not going to be much, but the fact then that you have a chop saw that's called Gertrude, I mean, that's worth something to me.
The team building every day of having, if you come to work at a company and they tell you to be careful with Gertrude because...
She's old.
She's old.
Yeah, she's seen a lot.
There's a team building value there. You feel like you're part of something that's different than just showing up and putting your head down and getting the work.
And think about what that orientation looks like. So you have a new employee coming in. Be very careful with Gertrude, right? She's been reconstructed many times, but we still love her, right? What does that say about the place that you're coming in to work with? It's a little weird, but you know what? They care about their tools, and they're impressing a certain importance in terms of taking care of those tools, right? But we lose so much money every year just because we lose the tools, they get stolen, they get broken, because we don't give a damn, not one.
Yep.
So what we're trying to do is incentivize reasons for people to care about things.
Right, and the more that, whenever you can get that kind of dual purpose where there's the win of getting to be the one who made up the name, but at the same time, having the name on the thing also changes the way that we treat it, then you're getting multiple bang for your buck.
So we... Is that the jetpack? Strap in, boys.
Multiple bangs for your buck.
You're getting multiple bangs for your buck. Okay.
Sounds like a different thing.
Is it? Okay. Maybe it'll get cut. We'll find out. So when we're talking about gamification, though, I think that it is so easy to build a bad game. It's so easy to build a game that divides people rather than pulls them together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about this, I always compare management to parenthood. How easy is it to get your two kids to fight? Like, to really, if you want them to just not get along, you could really just lean in one direction or the other, and they would just start fighting.
Absolutely.
So when we set up the games, when we set up the contests or the incentives for our team, it's really important that we're super thoughtful and careful about how we put these things together.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so easy to do it wrong.
Absolutely. So if we set up an initiative that says, whoever gets the top sales this month gets to take money from the other people who didn't get the top sales.
Right.
We are setting our team up to feel conflict. We're setting them up to not want to work together.
If I win, then you lose, and therefore this is an adversarial game. It's a competitive game as opposed to a co-op game.
So you think about some of the things we've been talking about, a Barbie car on the desk. Like, it would take a very special personality to get legitimately angry that this week you don't get the Barbie car on your desk.
Right.
Or someone gets to name the tools. Maybe you really had a name in mind. You're still probably not that mad about it. Mm-hmm. Like, just from what I know of construction guys. Yeah.
So in the last project that I ran, oftentimes the job site office was referred to as the treehouse. And it was called that because it was an elevated loft, but we also played all kinds of games all the time. And we were super effective, and we got so much work done. And kind of one of the crowning glories of that project is that we hoisted our company truck on top of the roof for a topping out party. And we had the barbecue grill strapped to the back of it, and we had a couple hundred people up on the roof, and they asked, why in the world is there a pickup truck on your roof? And we said, well, how else is the barbecue grill going to get up here? Womp, womp, womp. But the point is that that speaks of a culture that, that is kind of full of having fun. And the neat thing about that little exercise is that that was something that everybody worked on. Our structural engineer worked on, our architect worked on, our riggers worked on, our crane guys worked on, our steel guys worked on. Everybody worked together at no added cost to the project for the purpose of doing a thing. We had a goal that we all wanted to do for whatever weird reason.
It was funny. They wanted to see it happen.
It was fun. It never happened before that any of us were aware of. And we did it. And it created that fun, close, tight-knit environment that everybody wants to be a part of. So many of the clients that we work with will discover that they have created games, and we haven't really discussed these things. They've created gamified tasks that they're trying to roll out to their company, and one in particular, they created a game where they wanted everybody to show up on time and they wanted everybody to work hard all day. So what's the word? No loafing. No loafing.
This is I hate that word.
No loafing. So show up on time and no loafing, and that is what we want to incentivize. And they built this game, and I walked into it maybe day three, and they said it wasn't going well. And so I asked more about it, and they said that they've created a game that every day you show up on time and every day you work all day without being caught loafing, you're not removed from the game. So Dakota, 20 guys, day two, how many people do you think were actually in the game on day two?
Three.
High five. Good job. Yeah, good job. Three, day two, right? And then you advance to day three. How many people were still in the game who showed up on time and weren't caught loafing?
One, right?
One person. Okay, so now let's play this out. Day three of this really fun game. If you, let's not forget the incentive. If you show up on time and you're not caught loafing all month and you make it to the end of the month, you will get one half of one day off.
Did everyone who made it get it? Because I thought it was like a drawing.
No, I believe it was a drawing.
I thought it was a drawing, right? And one person of the people left at the end would get one half.
So 4 hours. Half. We're talking about 4 hours. I said, you're really creating a game that disincentivizes participation. Because if you're the one person who survived to day three, what does everybody else think about you?
Suck up.
Yeah, like suck ass, kiss ass, whatever. This is construction.
This is a family-friendly podcast,
show.
Jason.
So they would think negatively about the person who made it that far. Now, let's say that person made it to day 29. They've endured 29 days of harassment, of people making fun of them. Half of them have either forgotten about the game altogether or just really used it as a needle to poke into this one person who's still in it. Right?
I hate John. John is just making everyone look bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to make John's life worse.
And he's the laughing stock, and this whole thing is a laughing stock, and the whole idea that we would ever do this again is stupid. Now, let's say John, if we're calling him John, gets to the last day and his daughter's sick. And for whatever reason, he is late or can't be there on time, and he's kicked out of the game. Tough luck, John.
Tough luck, John.
Tough luck.
Right? So tough luck, John. You don't get your 4 hours of PTO.
Can tough luck, John, be the
tough luck, John? That's pretty good.
tough luck, John.
Tough luck, John.
Okay. So we've created a game that's divisive. We've created a game that really no one can win. And the carrot at the end of the tunnel is not big enough to actually prompt the behavior that we're looking for. So there was another bad example of a game where it was holidays, Christmas holidays, winter holidays, and the company handed out gift certificates to gift cards to all their workers. And so they would hand out gift cards from $100 to $500. The project managers had gathered all of the values and assigned who would be getting what based on their opinions.
Who deserves which dollar amount.
Mm-hmm. And then they went around and handed these things out. And one of the workers, it was 120 workers, they hand out these cards to, and it's a real investment from the company standpoint. So they hand a gift card to one of the workers, and it's a $400 gift card. And he looked at it, and he threw it back in the guy's face, said, "I don't want that." Right. So he saw that as an insult, because everybody talks, and he knew that his buddy got a $500 gift card, and he knows that he's worth less than somebody else.
Well, it's because his buddy's just such a better worker than him.
Could be. I don't know, right? But the part of the challenge there is that they didn't even know that they were playing the game. They didn't know that there was a game. They didn't know how they would be able to affect the outcome of that game. They just knew that they were being graded by some invisible structure. And again, we're in a situation where we've invested money, we've invested time and thought, and the intentions are all right. But the problem with it is that it's divided us.
And then management is hurt or feels betrayed because they feel like, we put this time and this effort and this money in, and now they're just acting out even more, and things are getting even worse.
They're ungrateful.
They're ungrateful.
Yeah.
He just got $400. How could he be upset about this?
Right? Come on. I mean, $400 is better than $0. But the guy literally threw it back and didn't take it.
Yeah. Well, and I very much empathize with that, because I try really hard whenever I'm working at a place, and if I'm working at a place and I am undervalued from the guy I watched slacking off the other week, regardless of who's got the better shared reality.
Subjective reality.
Whoever has the least subjective reality.
Right.
Like, I could be wrong. Maybe that guy is a better worker than
me. Could be.
But we don't have anything to measure that by. Mm-hmm. I most certainly don't have visibility of that measurement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would feel really bad.
Yeah. So then what's a better model? I mean, what are the important pieces of building a good game?
Well, so we touched on at the very beginning the idea that a good game leans on other people. So anytime that you feel like you're playing the game by yourself, that's not necessarily a great motivator, because we talk about in one of our training sessions the idea that other people motivate us to change. So people are most likely to change when they have a baby, when they have a new romantic partner, when they have a new close friend, or when their child grows up, or they have a breakup, or they part ways with a friend. People entering and leaving our lives is one of the things that changes our life
the most. I'm always the downer of the death in the family.
Or a birth in the family.
Right, but either or, like some change in the family situation,
yep,
is the greatest likelihood that we can change some setting in our life.
Yep. Or I think a lot of us have felt the way that when we work someplace, someone can leave or enter the workplace and change the whole dynamic.
Including us.
Mm-hmm. So in the same way, any game that we introduce that wants to change people's behavior, we want to make sure that we are participating in it together, that we don't feel like it's just that app that we're tapping on by ourselves. And then that we're thinking about how it's encouraging people to interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. So the idea that it's a co-op game, that it's a cooperative game for non-gamers. It's a cooperative game. Dakota, what's a cooperative game?
A game where everyone is against the board and they all are going towards a common goal.
Mm-hmm. So we have a common adversary. We have a common goal that we're leaning into together. And if we win, we all win, right? Because typically in game theory, mm-hmm, it's important that we understand what are those conditions for everybody to get across the finish line. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about gaming, there's the idea of zero-sum game.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like your sales model, where you said, if you sell the most, then you get paid the most, and mm-hmm, that actually comes out of the kitty from the sales pool, and all the other salespeople don't get paid, or mm-hmm, they get less because you did well.
Whenever the idea is that whatever we win is a limited resource and only one person can win, mm-hmm, and when one person wins, it means other people lose. Mm-hmm. So even if I'm going to give away a coffee card and I only have one coffee card, probably if I come in the room and we have, call it a moderate good feeling about the team, if if I hand that coffee card to one person, the other people in the room probably don't feel like they lost, mm-hmm. right? So anytime we have a game where for someone to win, everyone else has to not just not win, mm-hmm. but lose, mm-hmm. that's a zero-sum game.
Yeah. So, Mary, your dad is in transportation, and he set up an incentive for the truck drivers mm-hmm. who work for him. And essentially what it amounted to is if they shut their trucks off and didn't leave them idle 24/7, mm-hmm. they would get $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and easy, simple, straightforward, but the company would make $19,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they get $1,000, the company gets $19,000. That is a win-win all the way around. And all they have to do is some small behavior modification.
Yep.
And that is a win-win for everybody, because if some of the drivers shut their trucks off and other ones don't, mm-hmm. they're not taking money from each other.
Yep.
That's kind of a bonus pool that you get to participate in mm-hmm. if you exhibit that behavior.
Exactly.
I'd feel real bad if I didn't know about that game before it was implemented. If Bob, mm-hmm. who works the same amount of time as I do, mm-hmm. had $1,000 more in his paychecks just because he was being a little bit more cautious with company resources. Mm-hmm. Like, it's an admirable thing, but if I didn't know the rules to that beforehand, I'd be like, wow, that sucks.
Well, but that's an important part of gamification, is we need to make sure that we roll it out in such a way that everyone knows the game that we're playing.
Everybody knows that we're playing a game. Everybody knows that there's a game that we're participating in, and everybody understands what is the behavior that I need to exhibit. What do I need to do in order to work the system? Because we want to create a game that has a system that people can work. Because if they can work it, then that means, yeah, go ahead.
Work it.
No. Work it.
Let me work it. Put your thing back, flip it, and reverse it.
Bring your get.
Yeah, I was definitely on a slightly different wavelength with that one.
That's Missy Elliott song.
Misdemeanor? Not a fan?
2008 was a very long time ago, Jason.
It's true.
Anyway, so it's really important that everybody knows that we're playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows, how do we interact with this game?
Mm-hmm.
So in the example of the gift cards, the biggest problem there was they were never notified that there was a game,
mm-hmm.
and they were not informed about how they were supposed to interact with the game.
Right.
Therefore, all they were told is that there's some arbitrary grading system that they can't see that they're being judged by after the game is already over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we don't have a chance to be able to turn back time like Cher. Do you know that one?
No.
No. pantyhose? I don't know.
They were fishnets.
Fishnets. So it's important that everybody has visibility of what that game is so that we know how to interact with it. Because if we don't even know that there's a game happening, what's the likelihood that we're going to care about the outcome? I mean, I suppose if we get the $500, we'll care.
Well, there's always the negative value of caring, where I'm upset,
mm-hmm.
where it's not that only that I care that there was a contest I couldn't participate, but now I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was doing it wrong.
Well, and think about that as an example. If you're the $500 gift card winner, you're oftentimes or likely scrutinized by the remaining 90% of workers around you, right? You're seen as, like, again, kiss ass or whatever that looks like, because you got the $500 gift card, because you won a game that you didn't even know you were playing. So the other part is that it's actually fun to play. Right? So not only is it important that we know the rules and we know how to interact with it, but it should be fun.
We have to be drawn to play it. Otherwise, if it's just some game that gets thrown out there and what, we can win 4 hours of...
Pencils.
Time. Yeah, we can get some pencils.
Right.
Actually, it depends on the pencils. I can be very motivated by pencils.
Really crappy pencils.
Are they like unicorn pencils?
Nope.
Do they sparkle?
Nope. They're the kind that when you sharpen them, it goes all the way down to the eraser.
You just don't know how to sharpen a pencil.
No. I'm talking cheap. You haven't had cheap pencils.
He
like
really likes the game where you sharpen the pencil and then you get the eraser when you're done.
Yeah. And then you eat it. So it really needs to actually be fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that the games that we create, they're fun to play and they don't have to make sense. Mm-hmm. They don't have to make like perfect sense with the Barbie car or putting the truck on the roof. They just have to be fun and engaging. And when you play fun, silly games, it pulls you together as a team.
Well, and especially when we're working with the interests of our teams. Whatever they think is funny, whatever they think is fun, that's where the best answer is. Mm-hmm. So you always want to think about using the things you have, especially if it's a thing you're going to have to buy anyway, a thing you're going to have to spend on anyway, using that in order to encourage whatever behavior it is that you're trying to cause to happen.
And if you're looking for input on this type of thing, this is actually one of our favorite things to help with. So feel free to reach out and let us know, hey, I want to run this game with my team. Does that sound good? Does that sound like they're, it is well constructed, well thought out? Am I missing anything?
Yep, absolutely.
Those are super fun.
Absolutely. Some of our favorite stuff.
Good. What's a jetpack?
It was something about John. Bad job, John? Bad luck, John?
Bad John?
Tough luck, John.
Tough luck, John.
Tough luck, John.
Tough luck, John.
You can find us at www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com.
Or
on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinder.
SoundCloud.
Oh, they actually took me off. There was a lot of traffic.
Did you get banned again?
There was a lot of traffic going to names that didn't exist. So I tried to add one, and then they're like, no, you know what? You're done. You haven't even made a song yet. You're the worst. I was like, wow, SoundCloud. Way to really step on my brand.
Well played.
Thanks. You can find us on LinkedIn. You can find us through Jason Sturgeon, Mary Sturgeon, Dakota Gates. You can find
I'm
us.
On Flosser.
Oh, is that cool new flossing social media?
Yeah, so it has nothing to do with your teeth.
It's just videos this, like, of you doing like the Fortnite dance?
Yeah, the flosser.
Yeah.
Oh, I was actually on the floss-based one.
No.
Called
that's why you
Floss Finder.
Yeah.
Where you find other friends who also floss really well.
I floss so good. One of my favorite things. Such a good activity.
Another look inside the mind of Jason.
Brought to you by Floss.
You can also find us on the iTunes network and most of the sites that draw from there. Leave us a review and help other people find us.
Thanks.
Stay tuned for outtakes. I don't know if we have a lot.
Oh, I think we have some.
Stay tuned for outtakes.
We might have to cut them from the middle.
That's always what I do.
From the middle end.
That's always what I
do. So, what if it was a trip to Hawaii? What's the problem with that? So it's 10 grand, trip to Hawaii.
Oh, Hawaii sucks.
Well, yeah, no.
No.
Hawaii. Take those words back.
Hawaii does not suck. Take it back,
right.
Dakota.
So if you have 20 workers, right, you could do the math, but let's say it was 100 grand.